does it mean to be crucified with Christ? What does it mean to be made new? These are the things that are on Paul's mind as he concludes his letter to the church at Galatia. These are the questions that must be on our minds as well as we consider the life that's still in front of us to live. For we can even now change the course of our lives and become the children of God. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim concludes his series on the book of Galatians. It's a powerful book and a powerful, pressing message. I pray that you'll give it your full attention. Let's join him now.
Why is it, my friends, like these Judaizers, we call ourselves Christian, won't let go of the world? There's a young man who was coming here for a short time, and I took a trip to Missouri with him. One of the things that we talked about on that trip was that he had his foot firmly planted in the world, and he was dipping his toe into Christianity like one would check the water of a pool. And folks, that description, that fits more people than I care to mention. Because we don't want to let go of those things of the world. We like our sin. We do. We like our sin. If we didn't like it, would we do it? Do you do things that you don't want to do because you don't like them? I've been counting calories, you know, for several weeks now. And when I've gone over on my calorie count, which fortunately hasn't been too often, it was because there was something I liked more than staying within my calorie numbers. And I gave in to it. Folks, I want you to know that when we give in, we have Christ to boast in, not this world. Because it is Christ who lifts us up out of our sin when we are His and puts us back on solid ground. I think the picture of a Christian should look more like the opposite of this young man I was talking about. We should have our feet planted, rephrase that, our foot planted soundly in Christianity. But we know the nature of man, right? We know the nature of self. With our toe dipping into the world, testing it, occasionally that planted foot slips and we go into the water, into the world. I remember when I was, I must have been about 14 or so, I was fishing on Skiddy Creek just outside of the little town of Skiddy, Kansas. And there looked like there was a pretty good hole just up around the bend. But the sides were really steep. But there was a flat part just around this little corner. So I thought I could firmly plant my feet into that side of that bank and worked my way around there. And I got maybe two or three steps in, and I hit a wet spot. And there was nothing I could do to stop my slide into the water. Nothing. Down I went. You know the first thing I did when I hit the water? I got out of it. That's what sin should look like for a Christian. It should not be our intention, but when it happens, the very first thing we should do is get out of it and then turn and repent. Repent of that sin. But you see, that's not how the world does it. The world clings to their sin. But you and I should be like Paul. We should crucify sin in us. Verse 14, the second half, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The very last thing I wanted to do was to go into that creek. For a number of reasons. I don't swim. Fortunately, it wasn't very deep where I went in. I don't swim. Not only do I not swim, I did not want to be soaking wet and muddy. But even coming out of the water after sliding down the side of that bank, I was muddy. Did not want to lose my fishing pole. And I did not want to scare the fish away. So there's a number of reasons I didn't want to go in. There's a number of reasons you and I don't want to sin when we sin, isn't there? We can sit down and list them. When that sin and that temptation comes, we can sit down. I don't want to sin this sin because of this. I don't want to do it because of this. I don't want to do it because of this. I don't want to do it because of this. But when you're on that slippery slope, no matter how many things you have on your list of reasons why not to do it, that slope will take you in. But when we're crucified to the world, we're going to get right back out. When we have been crucified with Christ, I kind of picture symbolically what Paul says here, having been crucified with Christ. When he says that, I picture symbolically that everything that is me was on that cross with Christ. When he took my punishment and that fire, that wrath of God that he took, did not touch me, though I was crucified with him because of his protection. We need to surrender ourselves fully to Christ. I long for the day that the old man inside of me has no more power, that the old man inside of me has no more temptation for me. That day that I come into glory with Christ, into his glory. Romans 6 verse 6 says this, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we could no longer be enslaved to sin." What a day that'll be. What a glorious day. Again, using John Gill, he says, "The apostle, on the contrary, expresses his aversion to glorying in anything these men did, not in his outward carnal privileges as a Jew, nor in his moral, civil, or legal righteousness, nor in his gifts and attainment, nor in his labors and successes, as of him, nor in the flesh of others, or in any outward subjection to any ordinance, legal or evangelical. His glorying and rejoicing were rather in the spiritual, the faith, hope, love, patience, order, and steadfastness of the saints that is received from Christ." That's what we should glory in. As I watch our world change around us and deteriorate, as I watch the morals that have been on that slippery slope for many years of this nation go further and further down into the abyss, I look to the Christian, and yet I do not hear Christ on the lips of the Christian. We become so consumed and concerned, and we should be praying for this world, yes, but this world is not our home. This world is not what we should place our hope in. One of the things about that dreadful thing called Facebook is that you see the hearts of people. You see what they're really thinking. Now, I have a good friend, a pastor friend, who posted something one day, and he didn't read the whole thing that he posted. Big mistake, Christian. And there are some foul words in it. Now, I know this brother, and I know that this brother did not mean to do that. At least I didn't think he would. So I called him, and I said, "Hey, the thing you posted online, I was surprised, because it says this, this, and this." And he says, "Oh, no." He went on Facebook. He removed it and replaced it with an apology. He repented. I have another friend, not a pastor, who constantly has those kind of things on his Facebook. And I call him up and I say, "Hey, brother, I think somebody must have hacked you. Why?" Now, he doesn't say why anymore, because I've done this enough times with him. "Because this, this, and this is on your Facebook." Well, I'll look into that. But I've never seen those things come back down. And I've never seen an apology. There's a lot of difference there, isn't there? Where are we planted? Are we crucified to this world? Are we crucified with Christ? Verse 15 says, "For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." A new creation. That's the newness of life. That new creation. is the one who has surrendered himself to Christ and is no longer who they were. Does that mean they became perfect? Oh no. Paul himself says, I do those things I don't want to do, and those things I want to do, I don't do. But he's a new creation. And those things, those sins, those things that are an abomination to God, because all sin is an abomination to God, right? Those things that are an abomination to God, he repents of and turns away from. He says, it's not the fact Paul was circumcised. It's not the fact that I'm circumcised, Paul says. It's the fact that I'm a new creation. God has washed me with the regeneration. God has given him a new heart. And with that, he's become a new creation. In the newness of life, Romans 6:4, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Remember what it is that Jesus said to Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John? He says, you must be born again. To be born is a newness, isn't it? Every child that is born, there's a newness of life that has been revealed. And being born again, there's a newness of life that will be revealed. Because we are a new creation. Folks, you know that even repentance comes from God. Even repentance comes from him. And when we have newness of life, we have the spiritual life. We are able to see and to hear those things of God. We are able, according to God's Spirit, to know him in this newness of life. And the great thing that we get is not simply our salvation. The great thing we get is to see the glory of God. See the glory of God. Of course, we don't see it in its fullness. But the more you know him, the more you will see his glory. And it starts with being a new creation. Before that, you can't see. Your eyes are blinded. A couple of verses here. Romans 2:28. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Or back to Nicodemus. Jesus tells him in 3:7, he says, don't marvel that I said this. Sometimes we spend too much time looking and breaking down the word that God says instead of seeing the God of those words. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. I'm thankful that the old has passed away. Anybody else? I look at that old man. I look at who I was before I was saved by Christ Jesus. And though I am not who I want to be yet, I am so thankful that he has saved me from what I was. Verse 16. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. As I was preparing this message, this particular verse, I stumbled on just a little bit. Not because I didn't understand what it meant, but because I could have spent 2 weeks preaching this one verse. I've done that before with its counterpart in Romans. So I had to figure out how to not spend and keep you an extra 30 minutes just to get as much as I wanted to say in with this. But let's look at a couple of things. Galatians 3:7. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Galatians 3:9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Galatians 3:29. And if you are Christ's, I want you to look that up when you get home. If you are Christ, a C-H-R-I-S-T apostrophe S. In other words, if you are his possession, if you belong to him, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So as Paul is revealing this, he says, if you walk by this rule, what rule is he talking about? The rule, the understanding, that is by faith and not by works. If this is how you live, because it's by faith that you are a Christian. If this is how you understand it, this is how you reveal it, and this is what is revealed in you, that it is by faith, he says, peace and mercy be on you, be on them. Because apart from by faith, how is there ever going to be peace between you and God? And does God pour out his mercy on those who do not belong to Christ? They may get a general grace, the rain, the sunshine, all those things, but they will not have the mercy of God poured out on them that gives them peace with him, that has settled the account of their debt to sin and upon the Israel of God. Those who, by faith, are Abraham's, those who belong to him because of the walk with Christ, because of what Christ has done in them, those who are that new creation are the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble. For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. He's not talking about the holes from the nails. He is not talking about the scars from the thorns. He is talking about what he himself has faced, both physically and mentally and spiritually. He has been beat up. He has been stoned. He has been whipped. And yet, he never turned his back on our Lord and Savior. Did you see the news out of Egypt? The man that was killed this week in Egypt? There was a man who was killed in Egypt this week. He had been captured. He was a Christian man. He had been captured by Muslims some time back. And they had been torturing him. They had broken out all of his teeth. They had beat him. They had whipped him. They had cut him. Trying to get him to rebuke Jesus Christ. And he refused. So finally, on camera, they stand him or get him on his knees in front of them. And they shoot him in the head. Still refusing to turn away from Jesus Christ. Most likely, as we've said before, the chances of this happening to any one of us is pretty slim. But we are to bear on our body the marks of Jesus. If somebody doesn't like you, if somebody attacks you in any way, stand strong. Paul says, no, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. He says, I have said it. It has been said, it has been poured out. Paul standing by what he said, that no one should cause him trouble any further. In John 17, verses 9 and 10, it says, I am praying for them. This is the high priestly prayer of Jesus before his crucifixion. He says, I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. See, Jesus didn't pray for all those who weren't his. Those who are his, when did they become his? Before the foundations of the world. Jesus knew who was his. The Father had given it to him. All that the Father has given me will come to me. Who? All that the Father has given him will come to him. And for those, he is praying. For those are the ones who will bear the marks as they stand for Christ. I don't care how old you are. Peer pressure in this world is a major event. We have friends. We have family. We have those people of influence in a job or whatever it might be in our lives who do not know and do not believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. And they will do whatever they can to lead you away. Palmer and I were talking here a couple weeks back, and I was telling him about my uncle who, much like him, was given another chance. My uncle who was electrocuted, who was shot in the back of the head with a shotgun, who was knocked out of a bucket working in a tree very high, and lived through all those things, and yet never, never, in my view, ever even considered turning to Jesus Christ. Never even considered it. Because he wasn't one who belonged to Christ. I think of another person I know who had a very near-death type experience and for a while was thankful to God for that and then began to wander away from God because he never truly knew him. And so I told Palmer when we were talking not to be like these, but to be grounded in Christ and let what come from the world. And to those, Paul says in verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. I like that he said with your spirit, because it is in the spirit that we worship. It is in the spirit that we follow him. It is in the spirit that we repent. It is in the spirit that we have faith. It is in the spirit that we have received grace. And so, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Folks, I pray with all my heart that the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. This isn't the only time Paul says something to this effect. In Philemon, verse 25, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Same words. In Romans 16 and verse 20, he says this, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under his feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Folks, those things that look so good to us in this world, those things that are sin that we love, that would draw us away from Christ. Remember this, the author of them, the one who they belong to, will soon be crushed under the feet of Jesus Christ. And where will you be? If that is who you trust, if you trust the world, he is the prince of the world. If you trust the world and those things in the world, where will you be when the prince of this world is crushed? What will come of your trust in him? He will take you down the same way he went down. I read a story this week. It was in the news in, I think maybe July of 88. There was a number of people who were parachuting out of a plane. And they had a photographer. And the photographer was taking pictures of them as they went down, showing the great joy of parachuting. And as each chute opened, he was taking pictures of the chutes opening at different stages. And then finally, he reached for the cord of his parachute that he had forgot to put on. The news report said that the pictures and the video began to become shaky and erratic. Well, yeah, all right. As he plummeted to his death. See, folks, we get so excited in the things of this world that we forget who we are and what protects us. And we jump in with both feet, forgetting Christ. Remember what the scripture said? Put on Christ. Forgetting him because of the excitement. The report said clearly there was excitement in the photographer's heart and mind as he was taking the pictures. We get so excited in the excitement of this world that we miss it. And death is what comes to the world. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I thank you, Lord, that your grace would wash me clean. Oh, Father, I have allowed myself to get excited about the world at times. Oh, Father, thank you for your grace that washed me clean. For your mercy that did not allow me to die before I knew you. Father, I pray that for those who are here with me. For those who hear this message, I pray that. May they know your grace and walk with you in newness of life. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
What a fearsome picture, but so true. When we live the life of this world, enjoying the pleasures of the flesh and giving no thought to eternity, we are just like that photographer. We leap out of this life with no preparation having been secured for the next. Beloved, I beg you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be reconciled to God. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover your sin and to bring you to peace with the Lord. May His grace transform you in every way. Do not allow yourself to be lured into the trap of thinking that you're safe because you are popular, wealthy, or have your health. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we must all either be recognized as His possession or cast out as His enemy. Fly to the cross and beg for mercy. You will not be denied. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheworldradio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request, for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History, by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar, using stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to life from history, and is yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene. And on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. I want to talk for a moment just about what's going on in the Middle East and in Afghanistan in particular. I hear daily about reports of people being killed and persecuted, and those who are in hiding, those Christians who are being hunted down. We need to be praying for them. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Supplication means praying for them. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, it says. We know that persecution comes to those who belong to Christ. And it is coming in the Middle East. We see it right now in Afghanistan, but it is everywhere. And we are aware of it. We need to be praying and seeking out God's face and trusting Him. Turn to Him in prayer. Until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.